this week, so
I missed that it was my turn. Thanks to whoever
filled in my scripture reading for me.
All right. If you have your Bible with you, open to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we'll be reading together verses 1 through 11. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for everything that you are. Father, this is just a quick glimpse of just how powerful and mighty you are as you over and over just remind us that you are our stronghold, Father. There's nothing, as we just finished singing, there's nothing that we need to fear. You are our stronghold, Father. You are the creator. There's nothing that you don't know or can't handle, Father. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And I just pray that we would just seek our refuge in you, Lord, and not have a spirit of fear, but of confidence, Father, going forward in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. We are working our way through a bit of a series here in Psalms. We haven't been looking at every single psalm, but it looks like by the time we're done, we will probably hit about a third of them. But Psalm 46 is where we are today. And the theme of our psalm today is the presence of God. That's really what this psalm is describing. Just the simple fact that he is with us is really a source of, or can be and should be, a source of strength and peace in our life. Just the mere presence of someone who can help is a soothing factor in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit. Now, I don't fly that much. And I don't have a fear of flying, but I will admit to you that since the 9/11 attacks, as I get into airplanes, I do some profiling. As I walk the aisle and as I sit and I watch others board the plane, I'm judging them. I'm assessing possible threats. That's just something that I've done. But one other person that I like to try to identify when I get on an airplane is the air marshal. Now, I understand that not every flight has one on board, but in my mind, if I can pick someone out that I think, I think he's it. He's the air marshal. That's him right there. Immediately, I have an added measure of peace, especially if I've already identified someone as a possible threat, okay? But just the mere presence of someone who can help is a soothing factor in our mind and in our spirit. Now, I know this is 2 weeks in a row that I've been mentioning the 9/11 terrorist attacks. We kind of touched on it last week, too. But as many of these psalms that we've been going through deal with Israel's national security, it kind of brought to mind some issues of our national security, okay? And while God has not promised anything to the United States as a nation, he has promised the church. We as believers, we who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And therefore, the things that we learn from this psalm can be a source of great peace even to us, because they all revolve around God's presence in our life. There is a peace in my mind and in my spirit, knowing that there are individuals sitting here today in our congregation that actually have expertise in providing help. Okay, some of you have been in law enforcement. Some of you, many of you, have been in the military. Some of you are in the military. All right? Some of you you've been trained in the area of emergencies, in the medical field, in paramedics, and that sort of thing. And just having people like you here gives all of us really an added measure of peace in our mind and in our spirit. Now, don't take this the wrong way, okay? But that's kind of what God is telling us he is for us. And don't take this the wrong way, but if I had to choose between you and God, all right, and I know that God uses people, all right, but if I had to choose between you and God, I would choose God, and I think you would too. Working our way backwards, just for a second, through this psalm, I just want to point a couple things out here. And working our way backwards through it, in verse 11, we read these words: "The Lord of hosts is with us." In verse 7, it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us." In verse 5, it says, "God is in the midst." And at the end of verse 1 calls him a very present help in trouble. And that word "very" means vehement, all right? He's not only present, but he is actually zealous and impassioned to be with us and help us in our times of trouble. God is a refuge and strength. He is our refuge and strength. And so that we can have peace even in the midst of trouble, God's presence, in this psalm, we read that God's presence provides it in several ways. He provides that peace, and it's through his presence. Our subject this morning is a very present help. Psalm 46 describes that present help on a national level for Israel and on a personal level for you and I. What does God's presence do for his children? Well, first of all, this morning, God's presence alleviates fear. That's one of the things that God's presence can do for those of us that have trusted in him. It can alleviate fear, and we read about that right in the first three verses. Look at it. It says, "For God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be moved and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though mountains shake at its swelling." We will not fear. God's presence, one of the things that it does for us is an alleviating factor in whatever fears we might have. Even though the world may be falling apart around us, even though the world and moral standards are eroding away, God's presence can alleviate. It's there to alleviate fears within us. Back in the spring of 2004, and at least I think it was spring of 2004, southern Utah, that northern tip, Arizona, Mesquite, we had some very severe flooding that year. All right. Up in the St. George area, there were houses that were built on the banks of the Virgin River and the Santa Clara River, actually many feet above it. And the water eroded right in under the house, and the house actually toppled into the river and washed away. Up in Arizona, entire pieces of property were washed right down the river, right here in Mesquite. Some neighborhoods were flooded with several feet of water. Well, since that time, many of the riverbanks have now been reinforced with rock and concrete. Dirt washes have been excavated and concrete canals have been put in their place. And now, because of the presence of many of those structures, even people that are still bordering the river have a little bit more of their fears alleviated, okay? Well, I say all that because that word refuge in verse 1 is actually likening God to a strong structure, a shelter that is present specifically to alleviate our fears. And the trouble that he is a refuge from is likened to, really, eroding forces. It says, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be moved, our passage said, we will not fear. The earth being removed describes actually the fact that the world is changing. And I believe there's a little bit of symbolism being spoken of here. In fact, the word moved or give way means to change. And the world is changing, isn't it? And not for the better. It's getting worse. The world is changing from an acknowledgement that there is a God to complete rejection of even the notion that there could be one. Saying God doesn't exist. He's a figment of our imagination. And even though the world is changing like that, we can know that God does exist. In fact, we're not going to talk about it this morning, but right in God's Word, we can take from it and know that there is a God. And if you're interested in knowing some evidence of that, even in creation, we can talk later. But know that right now, even though the earth be moved and changed, we need not fear. Even though the mountains fall, we need not fear. The mountains falling and being carried into the midst of the sea describes really those standards that have stood the test of time, those godly standards that have proved profitable. And they're all being eroded away. Moral standards are declining. We see it, don't we? Evil called good and good evil, murder in the name of choice, thievery in the name of progress, greed in the name of success, disrespect in the name of freedom, perverted things being called natural. Know this, though the mountains fall, we shall not fear, because God is ever present, and God is our strength. Talks about the seas swelling as well. Though the seas swell, we will not fear. That word surging or swelling is actually defined. In fact, as John read it from his translation, it defined it as pride and arrogance. So verse 3 actually pictures the waters of change surging kind of like a tsunami and threatening even those on high ground. And it pictures arrogance increasing in the world. And it is, isn't it? Everywhere we look. Not only is the world rejecting God, but it's mocking Him. Mocking Him. It's shunning those that know Him. Not only is the world embracing sin, but it's glorifying it. Honoring it. Honoring those who do detestable things. Though the seas swell, you and I, we need to understand, we've got nothing to fear. Our God is our refuge. He is our stronghold. There are a lot of things that we could be afraid of in this world. Israel had and has the world against them. But they did not fear because God is the ever-present help in times of trouble. As much as this world is changing, as much as standards are declining, as arrogant as the world is getting, we need not fear because God is yet present. He is our refuge and strength. Listen to a couple passages. The first one here from 2 Corinthians, Paul speaking, and Corinth was known as one of the most wicked places of that time. In fact, many of the things that were taking place in Corinth at that time is what we see going on worldwide today. But I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God's presence can and should alleviate our fears. That's one of the reasons that we have it. Secondly, God's presence administers help. Look at verses 4 through 7 now. It says, "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." You see, right here, in contrast to the roaring waters of moral erosion, our passage says that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A symbolic stream, really, that provides safety and strength by way of its presence, making it a refuge and stronghold of protection. Now, even today, as we think of places of refuge, places that are strongholds, the image that often comes to mind is that of some kind of a fortress, maybe even a castle with its big, strong stone walls and great big stone towers. Now, sadly, the only castle that I have ever been close to is the castle at Disneyland. And I know that it hardly qualifies. However, even it exemplifies some of the common features of a stronghold, including a moat. A moat. A river surrounding the whole city. A river whose streams is designed to make glad the city. It appears that the psalmist is actually comparing God's presence to that of a moat of protection. A hedge of water, a river that supplies help in times of need. God's presence administers help. And these verses, really, they describe how. First of all, like a stream of water. In contrast to the roaring waters of destruction in the world, God's presence is just like a gentle flowing river that provides help and protection from the outside world. Now, while Jerusalem did not have a moat, in fact, it's one of the few cities that was not even built near a river, the psalmist is really, what he's saying here is that God's presence was its river of protection. He administered help like a stream of water. He ministered help, it also says, from the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, of course, itself represented the very presence of God. This was the tent of worship set up in the highest place in Jerusalem. Later, a temple would be built there. But within the innermost room was the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat. And it represented the very presence of God. Okay? God's presence. It was there to administer help. It was like a stream of water from the tabernacle, and then also at the break of dawn, the end of verse 5 says. And here this psalm begins to give us a little bit of a historical context. It's likely that this psalm was written after a battle in which the Assyrians were going to converge on a small Israelite encampment. And they were going to do it. Israel was severely outnumbered, and it looked like they were going to be crushed. But because of God's presence, at the break of day, just as the Assyrian army began to descend on this very small encampment, the angel of the Lord fought for Israel and killed 185,000 enemy soldiers. It was a miracle. How did God do this? Well, verse 6 says, by the word of his mouth. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. And this visually describes the ease with which God administers his help. Basically, with a word from his mouth, our enemies, his enemies, just fall. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God's presence in our life administers help right when we need it. Right in those times of trouble. Whether it's trouble from the enemy, whether it's trouble from the world, whether it's trouble perhaps right in our own mind, he is present. Call on him. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says to believers today, those who have trusted in Christ, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's the presence we have access to today. John 14:16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's presence, it alleviates fear, it administers help, and then lastly this morning, God's presence awards peace. Look at verses 8 through 11 now. It says, come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. By the ending of the morning, as Israelites stood in awe, as the Israelites stood in awe of what God had just done to the Assyrian army, they could very plainly see the capability of God's power. He can bring peace out of war by the word of his mouth, if we'll just let him do it. Back when I ran a printing press years ago, the forms that I produced were a pressure seal style product, actually an envelope. In fact, if you have ever received a check encased in an envelope that you had to tear the margins off to get the check out of, that was the product that I ran. It was a brand new product at the time, but as we ran this, At the press, they got us this little machine to test if the forms were actually working or not. And I couldn't get my machine to function properly, so I called a supervisor over, and I showed him what I was doing. And I took a form, and I tried to manually feed it into the machine. And he stopped me immediately. He says, no, just let the machine do what it was designed to do. He then took a stack of forms, put them in the machine, turned it on, and in 3 seconds it folded and sealed about a dozen of them. All right? The problem was me. I was the problem. I was getting in the way. I was doing things the way I wanted to do them. I was trying to force feed the machine when all I really needed to do was just let it work. Well, God will award us with peace in our lives, a peace that passes all understanding in our lives when we just let him work. Let him do what he's present to do. And our psalm reminds us, it says, behold the works of the Lord. Not push the works of the Lord, not pull the works of the Lord, not flounder behind the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. Look at what he is capable of doing when we just let him do what he desires to do in our life. In the case of this attack from the Assyrians, their army, the Assyrian army, was devastated. Every bow they pulled back snapped. Every spear they threw was cut in two. Every chariot they rode was burned with fire. And if God can do that to them, he can certainly have his way in every battle that you and I encounter. Every battle. Behold the works of the Lord. And be still and know he is God. Be still and know he is God. There's a saying within the church today that goes, let go and let God. All right. Well, I believe that saying actually was derived from the beginning of verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And this basically means take your hands off and just know that God will do what he is present to do. Now, this does not mean, it does not mean that we just lazily flounder through life expecting that God will magically give us everything we desire. And it doesn't mean that we force our desires upon him. It means that as we trust God, as we are in step with him and his will, as we trust in God and his desires for our life, he will faithfully fulfill them by his power. Don't force our way ahead. Don't flounder behind. Be in step with God and just know that God is God and trust in him. Be where he wants us to be. Take our hands off. Trust him. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. And it is when we are still in God's will that he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted among the people who see and watch us. They will know, as verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In Hebrews 13:20-21, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." God's presence in our life, if we allow him to do what he's there to do, will give us a peace that surpasses understanding. And so that we can have peace, even in the midst of our troubles, no matter what it is we're going through, God's presence is there to alleviate fears, to administer help, and to award peace. He is a very present help. Almost 500 years ago now, Martin Luther wrote a song called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It was this psalm that prompted the writing of that song. And I want to close with a few lines from it, because it really illustrates precisely what we've been talking about this morning. He says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of moral ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle." Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we are just very thankful. Thankful to be counted among your children. Thankful especially to have your presence with us daily. Lord, this is a scary world that we are living in. There is much opposition to you and to us because of you. As a result, I should say, of us knowing you. Lord, it is a scary world, but we thank you that even in the midst of battle, with an army of 185,000 soldiers ready to bear down on this encampment of Israel, that you saved them. You were their stronghold. You were their refuge, and it was because of your presence. And now today, as your Spirit indwells each one of us who have placed our faith in your Son, we have that as well. Yes, the world is a dark place. It seems to be winning the victory, Lord. But we know the end of the story. We know who wins. We know that it's you, and it is you that dwells in us right now. And as a result of that, our fears can be alleviated. You can give us the help we need. You can even give us peace in our life, even in the midst of those troubles. And for that this morning, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please go ahead and stand. We'll close with Jesus.
is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside thee. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands, Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hand, Jesus. Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb, you carry my healing in your hand. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my healing in your hands, Jesus. There is a truth that's older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. Thank you for going before us. Thank you for being our stronghold, Father, that we can just run to you, Father, seek you, and know that, Father, you've already gone before us, and the victory is yours, Father.
Just help us carry that with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.